Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Come. It's game on at Samstown Hotel and Gambling Hall Tunica. With their focus on your safety, you can focus on winning. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
It's game on with Radio.com. Your home for everything sports. Find all the coverage you need of this historic season on the biggest sports radio stations in the nation. Get all the news across all the leagues. Plus player and coach interviews. Get even more in-depth on CBS Sports Radio. And Radio.com Sports Originals keep you in the know with swings and misses. And you better you bet with the best bets on the biggest matchups every weekday. It's game on. Get all the action on Radio.com or the Radio.com app.
It all starts with just one thing. To celebrate World Ozone Month, try using your vehicle less in September. By walking or biking to close destinations, you will help reduce vehicle pollution, and you can enjoy more of the outdoors. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
A fellow went up to the desk in the hotel lobby to register. A large dog lying in front of the desk made him nervous. The desk clerk greeted him. Uneasy, the man asked, "Does your dog bite?" The desk clerk simply said, "No." With that assurance, the man decided he would pet the dog. Just as he put his hand down, the dog bit him sharply. In pain, he said, "I thought you said your dog wouldn't bite." I like the desk clerk's response, "Sir, that's not my dog." It's important to ask the right questions. The questions we ask determine the answers we get. One question we ask God is, "Why are you punishing me this way?" The truth is, God isn't punishing us. We need to ask, "What do you want me to teach me in front of all this suffering?" So examine the questions you ask. Instead of why is this happening to me, ask, "What could I learn from this?" I'm Shane Stanford from Christ Church Memphis. You matter.
Visit ChristChurchMemphis.org.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. The Smile Center, it's Dr. Maddie Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. They are open and treating patients. And needless to say, they're taking all of the necessary health precautions to keep you and your family safe. That means pre-screening, temperature checks, air purifiers with HEPA filters everywhere, and a limited number of people in the waiting room and clinical areas. Yes, the Smile Center is currently accepting new patients. And for those of you who've lost your dental coverage due to COVID-19, the Smile Center has insurance plans available for you and your family. If you have dental insurance, let me ask you this. Have you used all of your insurance benefits for 2020? If not, you should do that before the end of the year. And there's nobody better to do it with than the Smile Center. Again, the address is 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101. And the phone number is 901-309-1333. It's the Smile Center. On the web, smilecentermemphis.com.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
Memphis, we're back. Drew Hill filling in for Gary Parrish on 92.9 FM ESPN. Big show, as always, for you today. We're going to start it out with a little NBA talk. We'll move on to talk to Danielle Lerner. She's the new Memphis Tigers basketball beat writer over at the Daily Memphian. She's had some really, really good stories since she got here. The latest on Boogie Ellis, so I'm very excited to talk to her. Also, some NCAA tournament news. or I guess a proposal that came out today that was pretty interesting. After that, we'll get to four stories at 4:44. Then we'll do Jeff Calkins, do a little NFL talk since we've got season kickoff tomorrow. We'll do dinner to go and get out of here. Now, I've said we were going to talk about the NBA, but Bennett, I walked in the studio today. I surprised you.
You did.
You can't see me right now because I'm on the radio, obviously. But I am currently wearing a, I forget what year Derrick Henry got drafted, but I am currently wearing a Derrick Henry preseason, wrong number, number two, Tennessee Titans jersey.
It's pretty slick, too. It's an authentic jersey. Yeah.
Yep.
The stitched-on number and everything.
Yeah. I mean, it was an investment, a little bit of an investment.
I like that.
But I remember I bought this when I was in college. Obviously, I went to Alabama. Really cool story. I've told this. I don't think I've ever told this on the air. I know I've told it on Twitter a few times. I actually graduated college right next to Derrick Henry.
Oh,
because
right.
I was Hill,
okay.
And he was Henry. And so we went to our that was back when you could get within 6 feet of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went to my college graduation, didn't think about it at all.
Right, right.
And then they lined everybody up, and I was in line, and, Derrick Henry wasn't there. Derrick Henry wasn't going to go wait in line, right? They were just going to pull him in at the last second and let him sit in his seat. So at the last second, we're all lined up to walk in and do the entrance, and Derrick Henry, just you can't miss him. He's gigantic. Pulls up right in front of me in line. I'm like, oh, what's up, Derrick? And I had talked to him before because I was a media member at Alabama when, I was covering the team while he was there. Now, we're not friends or anything. He definitely doesn't know who I am. But yeah, that was pretty cool. I sat next to Derrick Henry at graduation, and they actually called his name on stage, and when they called my name, nobody could. They say at the beginning of graduations, like, don't cheer so everybody can hear their name called. Nobody heard my name called because everybody was cheering for Derrick Henry.
Oh, that sucks.
And no, I didn't care one bit. I mean, it's a way cooler story to say that than to say, like, than for it to be some normal, boring graduation. But the reason that I wore the jersey, I was listening to the Jason and John show today, and, John Martin didn't have very nice things to say about your pick last night in your fantasy draft.
Oh, in the 92-9 draft?
It was
I didn't
unprofessional.
Hear it.
I'll come out and say it right now to John. It was unprofessional, uncalled for, and just totally out of line to criticize you that way, Bennett. So I had to put my Derrick Henry jersey on and come in here and show support for my guy because you picked Derrick Henry number two overall.
Well, here's the thing. John, whatever he has to say about my I didn't get to hear it today. I'll have to go back and listen. But this is the same dude that's going to call me on week one crying about, like, his team losing when he puts up, like, almost the most points in the entire league. So I don't even worry about what he has to say. That's fine. But, yes, I did take Derrick Henry number two last night, which clearly is a reach
by all
fantasy football standards.
That's the thing.
But the buy-in's pretty cheap for the 92.9 league. I'm not really sweating the money all that much in that league. I was like, you know what? I want some Derrick Henry stock this year. It was my last draft. I was like, I want some Derrick Henry stock. I didn't have him in any leagues last year. So I just pulled the trigger and took him number two.
I texted John earlier when he was on the air talking about this pick, and I said, I might have been clued in yesterday that Bennett was going to take Derrick Henry, and I encouraged it. And he said, you know what he said? He said, I rigged the 92-9 draft. He accused me of rigging the draft.
Yeah, I gifted people some pretty good running backs with the next couple picks. But I feel good about it anyways.
You know what? It's going to be awesome when Derrick Henry runs for 200 yards against John's team.
My team's still loaded regardless. I feel pretty good about it.
Well, good. I had my fantasy draft last night. I had the number one pick, so I went Christian McCaffrey. Like Jason.
It's easy. Yeah, so, that's an easy decision.
No brainer. But on to the NBA, because we had a busy day yesterday around the league. I immediately left here. I was watching, doing my fantasy draft and watching the Heat and Bucks game simultaneously. It was funny. We were on a Zoom call. One of my good buddies from college that's in the league is a big Heat fan, and he had to keep muting it because he was going crazy the whole time. It's a bit of a shocker, especially for them to do it in five games. Not that they won last night, because obviously Giannis didn't play. But I think that the result in general is it was pretty surprising. It sets up for that bloodbath that we talked about, the potential Celtics and Heat series. Mm-hmm. I think that's really exciting. I'm super pumped for that. But the main result, the biggest, I guess, takeaway, and maybe this is a little bit premature because Giannis has said nothing but positive things about Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. He hasn't even hinted about it at all. He had a quote yesterday. I don't have it right in front of me.
Yeah, I got it. Okay. So this is, and it was followed up by, he spoke to Chris Haynes from Yahoo and kind of elaborated a little. But anyways, this was the quote after the game from Giannis. As a team, we had fun. I think we enjoyed every minute. Second in the bubble, obviously playing in a place like this with no family, no fans, it was tough. And that's not an excuse. It's tough for everybody. But looking back to the bubble, nobody's going to be happy for the outcome we had in our playoff run. At the end of the day, we've got to learn from everything that goes on in your life and in your career. And hopefully we can learn from this and get better as a team and come back. And hopefully we can build a culture in Milwaukee for many years that we can come out here and compete every single year for a championship.
So to me, and based off of the other quote, which was something along the lines of like knocked down walls.
He talked to Chris Haynes afterwards, and Chris asked him if he was going to ask for a trade, and he said that's not happening. Some see a wall and go in another direction. I plow through it.
Right. So the question
here is, he's saying all the right things, right?
He's saying all the right things. The question with that is like, is Milwaukee going to see the writing on the wall that the second he becomes a free agent that he's going to up and leave? Because if that is the case, like, if you're Milwaukee, you need to trade him. You have to try and get something back for him if you know he's just going to walk mm-hmm. out the door. He has not suggested that. And I said yesterday on this show that I really hope that he re-signs with Milwaukee simply because I'm sick of seeing the stars try and leave and go other places.
I do actually think that this happening, them disappointing and not getting to the conference finals, that it happened in this weird year in the bubble benefits Milwaukee quite a bit.
For sure.
Just because, I mean, you see it in the quote, like he's like talking about, obviously it's weird, it's different this year. Like, it's almost like in his mind, he's like, we have an excuse for why we didn't make the conference finals. This was a weird situation.
He got hurt.
We thought we were going to have home court throughout the playoffs and play in front of our rowdy fans, and we didn't, and that didn't help us. And then, of course, he got hurt.
Yeah. No, and I just don't know if it might be a little bit premature to just start throwing around teams and acting like he's going to leave when he hasn't suggested that whatsoever. But of course it's going to happen. Like, this is the NBA, man. We speculate and the rumors start flying around, and there's like this tornado of chaos and rumors that hits right before the start of free agency, which has been pushed back, by the way. So you sort of expected this to happen. Now, for it to happen immediately as soon as the Bucks lose is an interesting part of this. There's been several different teams that have sort of been thrown out there as potential destinations for Giannis. I'm going to read the odds based on Bet Online of Giannis's next team, according I'm on Odd Shark right now, Bet Online. So you've got Miami as the favorite. Now, this does not include Milwaukee. This is throwing Milwaukee out. You've got Miami as the favorite at +300. You've got the Raptors at +400. You've got the Pelicans at +500. And you've got the Knicks at +700. And the Philadelphia 76ers at +750. So that rounds out your top five. Miami makes a ton of sense to me when I look at what Miami has and the fit there and the fact that he can be in Miami and they have a championship pedigree. Like, to me, that makes a ton of sense. The Raptors, I'm not so sure about. I don't really think he fits with Pascal Siakam that well. That one's a little bit.
You got two guys that need the ball, want to drive to the basket.
And there's a huge, and like, people don't think about this, but if you move to Canada, there's a huge chunk of your salary that you're going to lose due to taxes.
Yeah, sure.
And then you've got New Orleans at +500. I guess. But again, it's like the same thing. Is Zion so big that he's going to play the 4/3?
I don't see the fit.
Because that's what Giannis is playing,
I don't see
right?
them two next to each other. No.
I don't see that. The Knicks, Who wants to go to the Knicks and play with and play under James Dolan there? That's a disaster.
If you ask me, what was the other one? Philly?
Philly. Uh-huh. I think, I know, Philly's interesting. But Philly, like, that would be, he would be Philly's savior because I think the 76ers are in an awful
They still wouldn't have any shooters.
Still wouldn't have
any shooters. Yeah, they'd have a bunch of dudes that
They'd
can't
be
shoot.
Good. They
they'd be really good.
They wouldn't have any shooters.
Obviously, and we'll talk about Billy Donovan later in the show, but, you know, with OKC going through a rebuild and the whole Chris Paul thing, like, and I heard Harrington talk about it with Jeff today, I would be shocked if Milwaukee didn't try to go get Chris Paul and just pair him with Giannis and, like, let's go. Because then you got, not only do you have a great point guard, which they desperately need on that team, mm-hmm. but you also have the guy that wants to take the last shot in the fourth quarter, which might be something Giannis isn't.
And a guy that can take a shot from a little bit further away.
Yeah, Giannis, I mean, nobody's arguing he's one of the best players in the league, hands down. But, like, he might be one of those guys that doesn't necessarily love the last second.
Are you saying he doesn't have the clutch gene? Remember that?
I don't know if Giannis has the clutch gene.
Oh, man.
I don't think a lot of people would disagree with me there.
They have been a disaster. Like, the fact that they have fallen apart, and I was not expecting this, especially with the hype that Coach Bud gets. It's like, man, because he was thoroughly outcoached in those first two games of the series. Well, yeah. In the first two losses.
Spoelstra, man.
Yeah. He's funny to look at, too, because you've got people were saying for a long time that Pat Riley is eventually just going to coach the team.
Yeah, when LeBron was there, yeah.
That he's just going to bump him down on the bench or whatever, and now he looks like one of the best coaches in the NBA.
Dude, he's going to be there. Spoelstra's going to be there like his whole career.
Yeah, so he's been really impressive too. The other, the Chris Paul thing to me is interesting, simply because it's going to be so difficult to work that trade out. The money is just kind of a mess. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a third team involved there. And everybody's knows what they're trying to accomplish. It's so much more difficult trying to negotiate a deal when you know it's all or nothing. That was like the Clippers when they were getting Paul George.
Right.
It's like you have to the Thunder know that you have to sell out in that situation. And so the negotiations at that point become so lopsided. Like when they know that the Bucks are desperate, it's going to be really tough to negotiate something there, especially when, and I was listening to Giannotto and Jeffrey on the way in here. I think Mark makes a great point. They're going to want expiring contracts coming back, and a lot of the Bucks players are not going to be on expiring deals. Like George Hill wouldn't be on an expiring deal. Eric Bledsoe would not be on an expiring deal. So, I mean, Bledsoe's a good enough player where you would take him back, but I mean,
right.
A,
I mean,
a
they've
got to
have a roster at the end of the OKC, and I know they're going to blow it up, but yeah.
But the money just doesn't exactly. I mean, and it's not like Eric Bledsoe's a young guy anymore, you know. So
right.
He's not old, but he's definitely not young. So that's just going to be really, really difficult to negotiate. The other interesting story, I don't have it in front of me, but I know it was reported that I think it might have been Kevin O'Connor, reported that the Clippers will explore a trade to try and get Giannis. That's interesting to me, too. I don't know how you would do that or make that work, but that has also been floated out there. And apparently Giannis has an appreciation for Doc Rivers and really likes Doc Rivers
sure.
as a coach.
I mean, that's interesting.
That would be interesting, especially, I mean, you can't, it's hard to, like, they don't work, he doesn't work with Kawhi and Paul George, I don't think.
No, one of those dudes is going to
back.
Milwaukee, yeah.
So, and I don't know if I want Paul George as my number one guy if I'm Milwaukee,
right.
to be honest with you.
Right.
So, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
That would be something that's something to watch for sure.
And then game two, like you called it yesterday with the Lakers over the Rockets. Like I thought that it was gonna be. I thought that, and it still may be a good series, right? It's only 2-1 Lakers, but it kind of does feel like they might have found the magic potion a little bit last night.
The Lakers have the two best players on the floor, even though James Harden is on, you know, the Rockets, and I they proved that last night. And there was a point in that game where I was. like cheering for my prediction, to be honest. But there was a point in that game last night where nobody on the Lakers could make a shot besides LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and it didn't matter. Like, that didn't matter whatsoever. You had Danny Green has been horrible.
He has, yeah, for sure.
His entire playoffs. I forget the exact moment in the game, but he had a wide-open layup that he totally blew. Anthony Davis grabbed the rebound, put it back in, and I was like, that's just the epitome of the Lakers playoffs right here, watching these two guys dominate. And LeBron, I've said this before on the show, I am not a huge LeBron James fan like there are
on this station. You're not allowed to say that on this show.
I know.
This is LeBron is our king and savior.
Yeah,
that is the motto of this show.
I know, but LeBron also, I grew up a Bulls fan, beat my team every single time. And that's honestly, it has nothing else to do with LeBron other than the fact that he beat my team so many times when I was a kid. But he was, you know, throwback LeBron
for sure
in that game. He looked amazing the entire first half. He couldn't miss a shot. And then you just see him and Anthony Davis take over. And this is why I thought that the Lakers were going to be the team that comes out of the West. You saw in that fourth quarter last night, they have, when they want to lock you down and they have LeBron and Anthony Davis, two of the best defensive players in the world on the floor at the same time, and Rondo for that matter, throw him in. He had a great game last night too. They can really lock teams down, especially late when they want to, and you saw that last night against Houston.
Yeah, and obviously last night he becomes the all-time leader in playoff wins with that victory, passing Derek Fisher. Now, I want to know if you think that this I haven't seen anyone talking about this, and it's probably nothing, but I just want to know like what you think about this. This is his quote after the game. Some people are built for this moment and some people aren't. When you've been building your mind, body, and soul for the postseason, no matter the circumstances and environment, you're able to rise. Now, if I remember correctly, Chris Paul, when it went to Game 7 Thunder Rockets, his quote, which everyone pretty much said was directed at James Harden, was something along the lines of, some people are built for this moment and some people aren't. I just wonder if maybe it's a little, because James Harden, I mean, at the end of that game, like, I think he hit a three that made it like semi close, but pretty much. No, he did not like take over on the fourth by any means. And so I wonder if
I guess
Chris Paul and LeBron are buddies.
Do you think? I mean, maybe that's true. They're the banana boat boys.
Yeah, they're banana boat. Yep.
Maybe I can see the connection there. Do you think it's a dislike for James Harden, or is it like a hyping yourself up? You know, you hear guy like Ja says, "I'm built for this," like all the time.
That's true.
I think that kind of like a common. That's like definitely a common saying nowadays. I don't know. Maybe it is. Look, Russell Westbrook and James Harden are not the most liked dudes in the league for sure. I mean, but I think Russell Westbrook plays so hard and with such
intensity.
Yeah,
he actually had a bounce-back game. He had 30 points, eight rebounds.
Yeah, he has the respect of a lot of players, it feels like, around the league. And not that James Harden doesn't, but it doesn't feel like it's to the same level.
I think
a lot of people watch James Harden and they think, and look, I'm not knocking James Harden because I don't dislike James Harden. I think he's one of the, if not the best pure scorer in the NBA.
Agreed.
He's one of. And, like, I know that he gets a lot of foul calls. I know he does all that. But it's strategic. Like, he's great at doing it. He wouldn't – if it'd be a different thing if that happened occasionally, but he does it every single night. So
I think it probably bothers his peers a little bit.
That has to
bother. That he goes to the line so much. Yeah.
That is probably the source of all this and not so much –
because the players look at – I mean, dude, you hear so many players complaining, like, throughout the season, like, well, we went to the line this many times. They went to the line this many times. Like – you know that pisses off other players that are the elite as well when it comes to Harden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And this brings up the point that I actually talked about a lot when the Grizzlies were still playing in the bubble, which is there were some games, man, especially that play-in game. Ja didn't get any of those calls in that game.
Right.
There will be a day when Ja gets those calls.
For sure.
At least I think so. Because Russell Westbrook gets those calls for sure. Like, James Harden gets those calls for whatever reason. Damian Lillard gets those calls for whatever reason. John Morant has not gotten those calls. So, the NBA's been fun. I'm looking forward to watching all the games going forward. All right, when we come back, I'm going to be joined by Danielle Lerner. She's the Memphis Tigers basketball beat writer over at the Daily Memphian. This is Drew Hill filling in for Gary Parrish on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Daniel may not have been quite prepared for how fast his home in Eads would sell when he listed with Josh Hysall. It happened super fast. Josh got it sold in just one day for more than the asking price, because that's the kind of thing Josh Hysall regularly does. How does he do it? He does it with the 45-day guarantee. It's a system for selling homes that creates more demand, gets them sold faster and for more money than the average agent. He's able to do this because he's experienced, effective. He knows how to expose your home to the most buyers with the best marketing strategy, then he knows how to negotiate for the most money possible. So give him a call and let him help you price your home in a way that makes it attractive. Once you guys agree on a price, he goes to work. And then if your home isn't sold in 45 days at the agreed upon price, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll buy the home from you. He can even make you an instant cash offer. You pick, totally up to you. And understand, risk-free proposition. Working with Josh doesn't obligate you to anything. If he's not doing his job, fire him. No questions asked. He has flexible fees, no upfront costs. If you're trying to sell your home, call the only real estate agent I'd call, Josh Hysall. 461-8147 on the web, JoshSellsTheMidSouth.com. Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company, which has reopened at 50% capacity. They've instituted sanitation procedures greater than what the CDC and health department require, including a three-step approach to sanitizing tables so you can get back inside right now. So go order online at memphisbbqco.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
Oh, hi. Okay, guess we should talk about something. Kind of tough to be put on the spot. Not sure what to say. But I know what I'm definitely not talking about. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save big.
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
This is time that matters. A window of time to help protect the ones you love. Your preteen benefits from staying up to date with their well visits. This is your window of protection. Schedule their well visit now. Brought to you by Merck.
It all starts with just one thing. To celebrate World Ozone Month, try using your vehicle less in September. By walking or biking to close destinations, you will help reduce vehicle pollution, and you can enjoy more of the outdoors. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
The Tennessee Cash jackpot just keeps getting bigger. With a jackpot now up to $1,075,000, you could be tonight's big winner. Tennessee Cash tickets are available at any Tennessee Lottery retailer.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
Welcome back. Drew Hill filling in for Gary Parrish on 92.9 FM ESPN. We'll now talk to Danielle Lerner, the new Tigers basketball beat writer over the Daily Memphian. Let's make her the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Danielle, I want to start with this. How are your folks? Because I know they've got some crazy wildfires going on in California. I've been getting Snapchats from my friends of the sky being orange. It's pretty scary. How is everything going out there?
Yeah, no, thanks for asking. They're doing okay. It's not as bad in their part of the bay as some other parts up north in terms of air quality and proximity to the fires, but it is weird. My mom's been sending me photos, you know, outside the house too, of everything looking real apocalyptic and dreary. And, you know, it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon over there, and it's dark and orange, and it's a little weird, but, you know, hopefully they get some things under control.
Is that something you grew up with? Like, is that, did that happen often where there's just like ash falling from the sky and stuff? Like, was that common?
Not to the extent that it is now. Obviously, things have gotten worse in recent years, just, you know, with climate change and temperatures being hotter. But there used to be fires nearby, and sometimes, you know, the air quality would be bad, and you could kind of, it would be smoky, but I've never seen ash falling from the sky. I've never seen just, you know, this orange glow that's happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you haven't seen it, you should look it up. The pictures online are, like, both terrifying and something you've never seen before. So they're interesting. Danielle, I want to ask you about, get into Tigers basketball now. You had an awesome story about Boogie Ellis in the Daily Memphian the other day. And I have said from earlier this summer when I was still in leeway between my two jobs, I had been talking to people around the program, and I predicted that Boogie Ellis was going to be the player who got the most hype of any Tiger going in from the offseason into the season. Last year, that was definitely Damian Ball. Everybody was saying that he was this diamond in the rough. This year, I predicted it was going to be Boogie Ellis. He's come back a beast, apparently. Tell me a little bit about your story and what his trainer out in California had to say about him.
Yeah, so I talked to Trent Suzuki, who has trained Boogie out in San Diego since about 2017, and he's the guy who kind of works with him more on strength and conditioning and also the mental side of his performance, whereas Boogie has Vince Rogers, who works with him on his on-court skill development. So between those two guys, that's who he relies on when he's back home in California to help him train. And, you know, the last few months, 4 months, I guess, ever since he went back in March, he was working with Trent 4 to 6 times a week, trying to just get stronger, work on his vertical leap, work on the mental side of things as well, which we know, you know, led to some consistency issues his freshman season. So he's packed on a ton of weight, a lot of it muscle, between 15 and 20 pounds. Trent estimated about 17 pounds. From March to around the 4th of July, which is when he came back to Memphis. So, you know, it's possible that's changed since he's been here, but added about 6 inches on his vertical leap, really wanted to work on his one-legged jump in particular, and then just really worked on, you know, visualizing himself succeeding and, you know, felt that inner confidence to be able to go out and make an impact.
Yeah, I think the mental thing is probably the coolest part, because he was a kid that, when he was playing in the Peach Jam last year, that's when he really blew up. He was off of the radar for the most part. I mean, he was still a top 100 type of guy before Peach Jam. He has this amazing Peach Jam, shows everybody what he can do, skyrockets up the recruiting rankings, ends up, you know, signing with Duke, and then gets out of his letter of intent, ends up at Memphis. And so I think that the consistency thing might have been, like, I don't want to call it predictable, but it makes a lot of sense that you'd have a guy that people didn't think as highly of. He has one great tournament, and you can't just expect him to play the same way he played at Peach Jam over and over and over again. Is the mental thing, what do you think is what was the biggest thing that they touched on? Is it when it comes to specifics that they talk about that Boogie needs to do going forward?
I think it's just realizing, you know, what he is able to do right now in this moment. You know, obviously he's young still. These guys who come in as freshmen, there's a learning curve for all of them. But for him especially, you know, it was, don't worry about where you're trying to go. You're obviously trying to get better each and every single day. And he's always been willing to work and have that determination. But I think he was getting caught up in looking ahead at the goal and being like, oh my God, this is how much farther I have to go. I'm not there yet. Instead of, look at all these tools that I have right now, and this is what I can do with them. And you kind of saw that come back a little bit, I think, in the conference schedule, because you saw, you know, him play a little bit better when they were playing in the American, and I think he had, like, 7 double-figure scoring games in league play, if I'm remembering correctly. And that was a product of, you know, starting to realize at the end of the season, okay, I went through this adversity. You know, I wasn't playing very well. I wasn't getting as many minutes. He wasn't taking as many shots during that period because his confidence was down. And then I think you saw that kind of climb back up, and he was taking more shots. And as a result, you know, scoring more, which is really what Memphis needs him to do.
Would you agree with the fact that he's been the most hyped guy, at least this summer, coming out of that program? Now, they're missing, like, they didn't have Musa for a while because he had to finish up school and then become a part of the team. And so, and they had some a few positive coronavirus cases, so they didn't get to get started. Some of those players didn't get to get started until later. But would you agree that Boogie's probably been the most hyped of all the guys?
Yeah, I think so. And I think a lot of that is easy to look at physical transformations and, like, you know, you take that stuff with a grain of salt because that isn't everything, and there is such a thing as bad weight. You know, guys don't always move the same way that they did once they've gained 10 pounds or so, and maybe their skill set changes with that, or that can lead to increased risk for injury. There are downsides as well. So I think it's tempting to just be like, oh, well, obviously, like, you compare side-by-side photos, he looks the most different, so obviously everyone's going to say him. But it's, you know, beyond that surface level of how he looks, his skill sets have improved. He's more agile than he was even before he added this weight. Coaches say he's jumping higher than he was before. He's moving faster than he was before. So on all accounts, he's improved.
And then the other guy I think that's been – we actually haven't talked about him as much as we probably should. Because, I mean, you got Musa. Everybody expects Musa to be a beast. He's a top 10 recruit. You've got Landers Nolly, who's already proven it and is now eligible. But everybody sort of expects DJ Jeffries to make the big leap this year. What's been the word on him? I know he was working this offseason to try and get in great shape too, and he was battling that knee injury, so it took a little bit. But he looked amazing in those secret pickup games over the summer in the gym playing with Ja Morant and those guys. What are the expectations for him this year?
I think they're really high, as they are with, you know, that entire sophomore group, because we didn't really get to see the best that DJ had to offer because of that knee injury. And in a way, it was kind of a blessing in disguise because he got a medical exemption to stay in Memphis' facility even when all the other players, you know, were forced to go home in March. And he was driving here every single day from Mississippi to at first do rehab with the trainer, and then later, you know, start, once he got his range of motion back in his knee, start doing some strength training. So he had the benefit of being here where he could be the sole focus of Memphis' staff and also not really have the pressure of seeing his teammates around him, you know, maybe doing things that he couldn't do yet. He got to be here by himself, take his time with it, really focus on rehabbing the right way. And now he's, you know, not quite back at 100%, I don't think, but he's very, very close. And if he's already impressing and he's not even on 100%, I think that bodes really well.
The other interesting bits of Memphis basketball news and just basketball in general, we'll start with Battle for Atlantis. There was a report by Matt Norlander yesterday that said that that they could be moving the tournament to South Dakota. Are you disappointed that you're going to South Dakota potentially instead of the Bahamas?
You know, who doesn't want a nice South Dakota vacation in late November?
Now, I got complaints yesterday for crapping on South Dakota, so be careful. We have South Dakota fans that listen to the show.
You know, I've never been there, so I'm going to withhold my take on South Dakota until I have visited. I will do them that courtesy. But, you know, comparing anyone to the Bahamas, you could be like, oh, you're going to Manhattan instead of the Bahamas, and I would be disappointed. Like, you could say, I'm going to L.A. versus the Bahamas. I would be disappointed. So you're kind of set up to be let down in this situation. But I am all for, you know, whatever location allows them to have some sort of bubble and play this event safely, because I think it's important to have some sort of non-conference games to look at.
You know who doesn't think it's important to have non-conference games is Coach K, because the ACC the coaches got together today and decided that they would propose a plan to have all 353 Division I college basketball teams make the NCAA tournament. I'll just give you the floor first. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, that was a great segue. Props to you. But I don't think it's the worst idea, but I don't think it's a plausible idea. You know, I understand the intent behind it, but I also think that it's being a little bit sneaky by the ACC because it's kind of like the kid who asks their parent for, you know, 2 hours of TV time, really hoping that they'll just end up with an hour. So, you know, I don't think that it's really, oh, we're looking out for all of the little guys, because that's a nice sentiment, but how is this actually going to work? You can't have one giant bubble with that many people, because I think that that just puts everyone more at risk by putting more people in one spot. And then if you're going to start with, you know, regional pods of some sort, I don't know. I don't necessarily see how they're going to pull that off. So it would be nice if they could, but I'm pretty skeptical at this point.
Yeah, I'm skeptical too. And the thing for me is I look, Gary has been tweeting today about this, and he makes a good point, because he says there are, I don't know the exact number, but there are several coaches in the ACC that are 70 years old and or older, and so they would prefer not to play a non-conference schedule, and that makes plenty of sense, right? But it also is a little bit sneaky by the ACC, because they know if they play a conference-only schedule, that a lot of their teams that otherwise could beat up on a non-conference schedule to make their final record look a little bit better, because they know they're going to lose conference games, they're not going to have the chance to do that. So if you just say include everybody, well, then all of a sudden the ACC can get all of their teams in. So, of course, there's going to be coaches that agree to that, and it doesn't really impact Duke or North Carolina, so they're fine agreeing to that too. And the coaches are in it together. It'll be interesting to see how the bonuses and that sort of structure works, especially if everybody makes the tournament, because I know a lot of these contracts for coaches, you know, have incentives. For me, when I look at how you do this tournament, it would have to be tiered, right? Like, you couldn't do one versus 353. You're going to have the teams at the bottom of Division I basketball play each other in order to get to the regular tournament, right? I mean, you wouldn't – would you have any interest, Danielle, in watching – I don't know, Chicago State versus Kentucky in the first round?
No, I don't think anyone wants to see that. And frankly, I don't think Chicago State or, you know, Kennesaw State, who I think won like one game last season, or some team like that, would want to put themselves in that situation. And then you get to the point where you're like, okay, let's say, you know, you play your regular season in, you know, the Atlantic Sun or whatever it is, you do horribly, but you're still going to get into the NCAA tournament. Is it worth it to travel, quarantine, bubble, go through all of that protocol, whatever it's going to be, to, you know, get crushed by 40 points by a blue blood? At that point, is it worth the exposure? And then you talk about TV rights, where CBS and Turner, right, still have the rights to March Madness. If you have more teams, you're going to have more games. It's going to stretch over a longer period of time. Is viewership for every single one of those games going to be what it would be if there were only 64 teams? Are you going to, you know, have to bump other events maybe off of your broadcasting schedule if the NCAA tournament is now going to take, you know, a couple extra weekends? How is that going to work? And then you look at, if we do this for the men's side, do you have to do the same thing for the women's side, where ESPN owns those rights? So it's just kind a whole mess, and there's a lot of other contingencies to consider.
Yeah, the women's basketball side is a very good point. I don't think that's something that a lot of people are thinking about right off the top of their head, but that makes a lot of sense too. And that, I mean, that's an expensive venture, you know, to try and host all of those teams too. Now you're going to make money if the games are on TV, like you've mentioned, but I mean, it's also going to cost you a lot of money to try something like that. Let me ask you this, and then we'll get you out of here. If you are Penny Hardaway, if you put yourself in Penny Hardaway's shoes, and you're at a program where you haven't made the NCAA tournament in several years, and it's a big deal to get Memphis back. And of course it was canceled last year. They had a chance. It was an outside chance, but they had a chance. do you want this? Like, are you okay with this if they say you're automatically in? Do you just say, okay, well, we're automatically in. That means we got a chance to make a run and good for us. Or do you say, well, that sucks. Well, I mean, we wanted to earn it. We wanted a chance to prove ourselves because we want to show that we have brought this program back and the way that we've built this program up. Which side are you taking if you're Penny Hardaway?
You know, I think that realistically you would be somewhere in the middle, but if that's a decision that is made and that's out of your hands, what are you going to do? You're going to accept it and you're going to say, okay, in this case, if we're going to make it anyway, we still want to prove that we would have, you know, done well regardless. So I think I've heard a lot of people criticizing this plan by saying, well, it would cheapen the regular season, right? It would mean that all these other games don't mean anything if you're going to qualify regardless. But I don't think that's the case because, I mean, look at these players. Can you see any of these college basketball players who love what they're doing being like, oh, yeah, we're just not going to try anymore because we know we're going to make the tournament anyway? No, they still, you know, they love this competition. I think they're still going to want to win as many games as they can. So I don't think anyone's going to, you know, just be lazy about it and tank. So I think
you play for seeding, but you don't think that there would be load management situation like the team, like Memphis wouldn't rest guys in the games leading up to the tournament if they know they're going to the tournament? I mean, there's not really load management today, but I'm just asking, in this scenario, does that change, do you think?
Yeah, it might. It might. And I don't think anyone can necessarily predict that, but I also think that, you know, in that situation, you're happy to be playing at all and you're happy to have an NCAA tournament. I think that, you know, we saw last year when it didn't happen just how missing out on that experience was really soul-crushing for a lot of people. And that's the other thing. I think that if this is done, whether it's with every single team in college basketball or another format, if there is an NCAA tournament, the challenge is going to be still making it feel like a normal March Madness. You know, you want teams that are in it to have that experience and feel like it's something unique and feel like there's still that fanfare around it. And I think that's going to be difficult to replicate in this sort of situation.
Thanks, Danielle. Good luck to your people out in California.
Thanks, Drew.
When we come back, we'll do four stories at 4:44. This is Drew Hill filling in for Gary Parrish on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Sports in the United States have finally mostly returned. Football is back. Major League Baseball is headed toward the playoffs. The MLS season continues. So we got a lot of stuff to sit at home and watch. And if you're like me, Gary Parrish, you might want to have a drink while you're watching. And if you're like me, New Amsterdam Vodka should be your drink of choice. New Amsterdam Vodka, it's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. As you surely know by now, it's so smooth you can drink it straight. And yes, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store, and that's because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. And if you're into flavored vodkas, understand New Amsterdam offers a variety. Watermelon is the newest flavor. Keep an eye out for that. And don't forget, New Amsterdam also has a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name next time you're in a bar, in a restaurant, or in a liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out. On the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
Ask any player in the country, and they'll tell you the best thing about Cardinals baseball is playing in front of a packed stadium. And while this year is a little, okay, a lot different, you're still invited to come enjoy the game and explore other places around St. Louis while you're at it. Check into your hotel home base and check out Six Flags, Topgolf, the Gateway Arch, and more. Baseball is back, so let's re-explore St. Louis responsibly. Wear masks, stay 6 feet apart, and wash your hands. Book your trip today at ExploreSt.Louis.com.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. When I was born, I got lucky, a gift, if you will. My early life was really hard for many reasons, but at the time, it really didn't seem all that hard. I had a close relationship with my brothers and sister and loads of friends. Those days of desperation and poverty led me to my job today, representing the people, not the powerful. But my job is really not a job because I never considered it work. In many ways, it's more like a public service. Now, as I age, I get to look back at all the cases and all the people and all the trials. And the best part is when I get to see you all out and about. When I pray before I sleep, I thank God for the gift I received at birth, the genuine love I have for people, all people. Maybe that's why my work never seemed like work to me. When I was born, I got lucky. I got to meet all of you. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Dial pound law on your cell.
Free background information available upon request.
Right now, make up for lost time with the new BMW R1250 GS from Performance Plus Cycles. With 136 horsepower and a camshaft control system, you're assured consistent power delivery. Whether in the city, motorway, or off-road, every mile makes you feel more free. Test ride today at Performance Plus, located off Pleasant View Road, or check out their BMW inventory online at performanceplusscycles.com. Remember, make life a ride with a BMW motorcycle.
With all the uncertainty in the world today, our mental wellness is being tested like never before. I'm Listening is here to remind you that you are not alone. Each day, we highlight conversations with celebrities, athletes, and mental health professionals who share their experiences to help you manage feelings of anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Join us Wednesday, September 23rd at 6 p.m. for a two-hour in-depth discussion as we take the mental health temperature of the nation. For more, visit imlistening.org. Remember, talk has the power to save lives.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night,
there's a lot of meetups, eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. And engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at FuelRewards.com.
I am Disinfector.
What's with him?
I told him flu shots gave us a superpower against germs.
CVS is your one-stop shop for immunity support. From hand wipes to vitamins that are third-party tested to confirm they meet our high standards.
Take that, germs!
Plus, get a $5 off $20 shopping pass when you get a free flu shot. Visit CVS today. No-cost flu shots with most insurance. Restrictions apply. Visit CVS.com and CVS.com/tested for details.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
Big thanks to Danielle for joining us in the last segment. She's been awesome as the Tiger basketball beat writer so far. I'm very excited that she's part of our team. She's had great, great Boogie Ellis stuff. She had a great thing on an artist giving painting to Penny Hardaway. So definitely make sure you go check out her stuff because she does a really good job. All right, let's do four stories at 4:44, Bennett. Wow.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Saying four stories at 4:44, by the way, is not easy.
Yeah, like I mean, Gary's had years of experience.
Gary has years. Yeah. And the other thing is, now that I guest host on this show and Jeff Calkins, like, I have to think about it every
single
time.
Oh, like what bit it's going to be?
I go in and out of break. I say, like, this is Drew Hill filling in for... pause. Yep. Oh, Gary, not Jeff, Gary. But anyway, story number one. Vaughn Miller, is likely going to be done for the year for the Denver Broncos. That's obviously a very big hit for him. He's one of the best players in the NFL.
It happened on the last play of practice.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
That is.
Which is probably brutal. Yeah. That's terrible.
And the Broncos. Okay. So the Broncos, to me, are actually one of the more interesting teams in the NFL this year because, and I hate to downgrade this loss because obviously it's a huge loss for them. They're basically trying to figure out if Drew Lock is any good because they have a solid team. They have Melvin Gordon now.
Yeah, their offense is loaded around him. Yes.
Yeah, they just drafted Jerry Jeudy.
Drafted Noah Fant last year. Noah Fant. Their offense is loaded around him.
Cortland Sutton's good.
I think he will be because he played some games last year, right, and showed some signs. But like, I think it'll be a short leash for him just because they like solidified that offense pretty quickly. Like, if he has a bad year, I'm sure he'll get another shot at it next year. But it may not be as long of a leash as people think with him.
Yeah. So losing Von Miller is obviously a blow, but I feel like that's like the goal of the Broncos season. Obviously, I mean, you're trying to win, but you have the Chiefs in your division. So you're probably not winning your division. You can kind of concede that at the beginning. You're just trying to figure out what you think of Drew Lock, and Drew Lock played in the Liberty Bowl. I don't know if you remember that with
Missouri
against
yeah.
Oklahoma State. And he looked really good. I think Oklahoma State ended up winning that game.
And the Tigers played there against him, right?
Yeah.
And he put up numbers.
Yeah, I mean, he's looked really good. And he's super impressive guy. Like, even in the interviews before and after the Liberty Bowl, that's what struck me. You can tell he's a super smart dude. And it's easy to see why his teammates probably really like him. He's gotten a lot of support in Denver. I hope he does well. I mean, he seems like a good dude. Mm-hmm. But really, it sucks that Von Miller's out for the year, but I don't think that he was the main story with the Broncos.
No,
it's
big news for the Titans. That's they play the late game on Monday Night Football on Monday. And also, Bradley Chubb is probably going to be a game-time decision, but they're thinking it's probably he's not going to be ready because he tore his ACL last year and he's not fully recovered from that. So, big for the Titans. I said it yesterday, dude. That's a must-win game for the Titans. It just is. I know that's a tough place to win, like for any team, regardless of if the Broncos are good or not, just because you're playing in Denver, the altitude, all that stuff. Doesn't matter. You got to go in and win that game if you're for real.
I guess so, but at the same time, like, if the Titans are going to do what the Titans do, which is run it with Derrick Henry and then try and throw it over the top, like losing Von Miller is a huge loss for Denver, especially against the Titans.
Yep.
Story number two.
Oh, and one thing I didn't also wanted to mention since we were doing NFL there, Jalen Ramsey is now the highest paid defensive back in NFL history.
Good for him.
LA Rams played him today. You Jalen Ramsey fan?
I used to
hate him when he played for the Jags.
I said yesterday that I like a lot of the guys that everybody hates, but Jalen Ramsey's not one of them.
I hated him when he played for the Jaguars. There was one play where Derrick Henry trucked him, though, which like just made my year that season. But I it's worth it. I mean, he's freaking awesome.
Yeah, he's pretty good. And I like guys that can talk some trash, too.
And back it up, yeah.
Anyway, story number two, Billy Donovan is not going back to the Thunder next season. Gary had some takes on Twitter about this. I mean, Billy Donovan, the guy's in a great spot. Let's be honest. The Thunder are trying to rebuild at this point. He's going to get a chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get hired by somebody in the NBA if he wants the job. The Bulls, which is the team I grew up rooting for as a kid, have interest in him. He's a huge upgrade over Jim Boylan, so I think that would fit. But the Bulls are maybe in worse shape than the Thunder, so I don't know why you would want to do that.
If he doesn't want to be a part of the rebuild, and frankly, who knows like what was said between him and the Oklahoma City front office, but like when you go to someone and say, hey, you know, we're rebuild, it's kind of understood like, okay, well, they don't really want me back regardless. Like they – you know what I mean? They were doing him a favor, but if like the Bulls is the only thing really on the table, like I think he would take that job.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think
the
he's
Sixers
going back
are the other option. That's
which
been is,
which he would
out
take
there.
For sure.
But I'll say it again. I'm not a believer in where the Sixers. I think the Sixers are in a very bad spot right now. I really do. I mean, they're in a better spot than the Bulls, but they have contracts that are going to be really difficult to get rid of, and a team that right now doesn't work and can't stay healthy. So
it's true.
I'm not comparing the Bulls and the 76ers. Of course, you would go to the 76ers ahead of the Bulls, I think, if you're Billy Donovan, but I don't think either of those situations is a great job. But as Gary pointed out last night on Twitter, if Billy Donovan just waits a few months, he's going to get the best available college job, whatever that is.
No question.
It'll get offered. He's won championships at that level. He's proven that he's great. He recruited at a high level, but he didn't even need to. Like, his Florida teams were built, you know, year after year. And it wasn't like he had five in and five out.
And I think Woj said that he wants to stay in the NBA.
Right.
If he can. And I think he will. I mean, he did a hell of a job with that team this year. My God, I know Chris Paul was awesome for them and considered to be an MVP candidate by some, but like, that was a great coaching job too. I mean, that team on paper, even with Chris Paul going into the season, no one thought they were going to do what they did.
Don't you think that once you have recruited high, and like, recruiting is like literally the worst to cover. Like, anybody will tell you that, because young kids change their mind about things all the time, and like, little things become big things when you're 18 years old. Don't you think after recruiting, like he had to do all those years at Florida, when you go to the NBA, you don't have to deal with that anymore, that you're just so
Why would you
done.
Want to do it? Yeah.
Like, you're just done doing that. You don't want to do that anymore. So, NBA, probably.
Story number three.
The NBA draft is being pushed back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.